total verse in the book of Genesis, chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39, verse 2. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Chapter 41. Verse 37. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh, and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, Can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? So you turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And a scripture in the Epistle to the Galatians that was briefly referred to in the reading this afternoon. The Epistle to the Galatians, chapter 5. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And finally, a verse in the Epistle of Jude. Verse 20 of Jude's epistle. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now, unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Saviour, be glory and majesty and dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. I felt impressed, beloved, to follow on the lines that our dear brother Frank has brought before us with regard to obedience. And that which was upon my heart in reading these scriptures is the matter of soul prosperity. Because rest upon it, we shall never be in the good of what it means to prosper in our souls if we don't know the blessedness of obeying the word of the Lord. Nor will we know the blessedness of soul prosperity if we are playing fast and loose with this world. Since we have reached the practical part of the Epistle of the Romans, as we all clearly understand by now, I'm sure that we have been impressed with this fact: the walk of the believer is something in which the blessed God can find great pleasure when we are walking in the steps of the Master. I have just chosen this scripture in the book of Genesis as one of the striking examples that we could find, along with others, in the Old Testament. Here was Joseph, in circumstances that we might say were contrary to him, as one that was seeking to please the Lord. But in the very circumstances in which the blessed God had seen to order for Joseph, because you remember he said to his brethren on one occasion, "Ye meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." And we know, do we not, as we study carefully the life of Joseph, one of the most striking examples in the Old Testament that we have, that he proved the support of his God in the circumstances in which he found himself in Egypt. And whatsoever he did, the Lord made him to prosper. Now, I'm not thinking about material prosperity. I'm thinking now, as I've said already, about soul prosperity. And although you and I, passing through this world, as we most surely are, will do until it pleases the Lord to take us from it, we find ourselves oftentimes in circumstances that are contrary to us, and we feel oftentimes it would have been better if the Lord had just taken us home just when he saved us. That would have been grand, wouldn't it? But how blessed, what a triumph of God's grace it is, that in these very circumstances, and although there might be times when we find it hard, and those of us who are a little older, we have found it hard at times in certain circumstances, but when seeking to please the Lord, there has been needed grace ministered to us, and after having passed through the circumstances, we proved the support of heaven. Now, I can't enlarge upon the life of Joseph, but I hope that they took notice of what we read in that 39th chapter. His master saw that the Lord was with him. Isn't it good, dear brethren, when our testimony here in this world, an ungodly world, where there is so much and so many voices appealing, particularly to those that are young in the faith, yeah, and to us all at this present time, what an age it is. And yet, what a triumph it is, beloved, when those around us, because they do take notice, make no mistake about it, they do take notice, and if they can say, I trust, it can be true in your life and mine, that they can take knowledge that the Lord is with us. In the language of the Acts of the Apostles, I think it's been quoted already tonight, or if not tonight, on some previous occasion, they took knowledge of them, it says, of these men that were acting in circumstances that seemed so contrary to them, and yet they couldn't but take account of this, that they had been with Jesus. That's the source, isn't it, of all our strength. And our testimony here in this world takes character from the moments, be they few or many, better it is many than few, that we spend in the company of the Lord. Can we find such a man? What a question, wasn't it, that came from Pharaoh. Pharaoh was looking on this young man, an outstanding young man was Pharaoh, was Joseph in the presence of Pharaoh, but Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such an one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? Now, I'm not going to argue with anyone here tonight. I know better than that. We know fine that the Spirit of God never indwelt any person here upon earth until Christ was glorified. John chapter 7 is the answer to that. But it was a remark that came from Pharaoh, so outstanding, as he looked upon this young man Joseph. Can we find such an one? A man in whom the Spirit of God is. This young man was marked out as one that was here, bringing pleasure to his master. We might put it this way, bringing pleasure to God, because it was the Lord that made him to prosper. And you and I, as we've been reminded today already in our Bible reading, and in the previous Bible reading this week already, it's only in the power of the Spirit of God, which truly now does indwell the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. We know it came upon certain men in the Old Testament, but, as I said already, not in an indwelling way, because Christ was not glorified. But, thank God tonight, in your heart and mine, the Spirit of God does dwell. And you might say to me, when did that happen? When you believed the gospel. Ephesians chapter 1, for a scripture if you want it, read it. It's there already. And it's there for your blessing and mine. After that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit promise. The Lord Jesus said this would happen even before he left his own here in this world, in the book of Acts, that after he was gone, he would send the Spirit. And when the Spirit came and empowered those that were his witnesses here in this world, they were marked men. And depend upon it, you and I, whether we are young or old in the faith, we are marked men and women in the very circumstances in which we move. But oh, bless God, when they are bound to say, and they will, if we live in touch, or as someone said the other night, keeping short accounts with God, to take knowledge that we've been with Jesus. Psalm 1, I'm sure we all find pleasure in reading these precious verses in Psalm 1. Do they not bring before us, in the first place, the perfect man? The man who is always here for the pleasure of God, in all that he said and in all that he did. Why, he could say himself, didn't he, I do always those things that please the Father. What a man. There has been another man like that man, God's man. The man that we've been reminded of in our readings, the man that God, by his Spirit, is bringing before us in an enlarged way. That blessed man that the Spirit of God would form in your heart and mind in order that there might be, as we said this afternoon, the reproduction of the features of Christ in each one of us. This is not something that is peculiar to those that are older. I know that when we are younger in the faith, we look for it in the older ones. Thank God when we say it. I can remember men of God, and God be thanked tonight that they were examples to us in the path of faith. Or they've left us a legacy, there is no doubt about that. But these men were they that kept close accounts with God and walked the path of separation. Oh, you say, we don't very often hear that word. Well, it's there all right, dear friends, isn't it? And I'm sure we can't read these opening verses of Psalm 1 without realizing that if we are going to know something of obeying the word of the Lord and springing from that the blessedness of soul prosperity and being usable in the service of the Lord, well, it's incumbent upon us, is it not, to walk in the path of separation from this world. And blessed is the man, says the psalmist in the first verse of the first psalm, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Think of the way that Moses had to come to a decision. You know the story well, even if you are young here tonight in the faith. In your Sunday school days, you heard of Moses. He came to a moment of decision, didn't he? When he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. One dear old brother that used to minister amongst us when I was first converted, Mr. R.K. Wilson, now gone home to be with the Lord, he used to say to us, there's only two pleasure parties in this world, you know. Those that are enjoying the pleasures of sin, which are only for a season, will be short or long. Those that know something about Psalm 16, in thy presence is fullness of joy, at thy right hand pleasures forevermore. That's the pleasure party. That's the company that we want to find ourselves in. And we'll find it, beloved, as we take heed to the word of the Lord. Blessed is the man. I know I say again. Finally, these verses find their perfect fulfillment in the man of God's pleasure. Linked with this psalm, Psalm 16, what a picture we've got of the man of God's pleasure. But it is true, as those who are indwelt by the Spirit of God, that the features of Christ can be seen in our lives. And that is my exercise tonight. And the man that walketh not, it's put here in the negative way, But it's good that we take heed to it. The man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Is there such people around us today? Any amount of them. What a blessing it is to walk apart from them. Not to try and see how near we can keep to them, but the exercise in the soul to walk as far apart from it as possible, and we'll know the blessing of the Lord. His delight is in the law of the Lord. Now I'm only saying what is true, I'm sure, because in the Psalms the word of the Lord is referred to in so many different ways, particularly in Psalm 119. The precepts of the Lord, the statutes of the Lord, the word of the Lord, the law of the Lord. So I'm going to suggest here, beloved, his delight is in the word of the Lord. Well, if we are going to know anything, I say again, about the joy of soul prosperity and the blessing of pleasing the Lord in the path of obedience, this is our guide, isn't it? And this is our food. There are so many other things that can catch the eye and occupy the mind in this world at this present moment. We sometimes say there's never been a day like it. Well, I don't know. Men of God in days gone by, they've passed through it perhaps in a more increasing measure, but they've been true faithful and they've been blessed of God. His delight is in the law of the Lord, the word of the Lord, and in his word, or in his law, doth he meditate day and night. Not 5 minutes in the week, not an hour a day. Wonderful, isn't it? In his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. There is divine refreshment ministered to the soul of the one who delights in the word of the Lord. We learn the mind of the Lord, and in the power of the Spirit of God, we seek to walk in that path that is marked out for us in the word of God. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, fruit unto God. If we remind ourselves of the expression that was pressed upon us this afternoon from Romans chapter 7, fruit unto God. He shall bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Depend upon it. It's open to us all. Yes, to us all, young and old alike. May we know the joy of it more and more as we find our delight in the word of the Lord. For that reason, I read these verses in Galatians chapter 5. We said, didn't we, this afternoon, that the fruit of the Spirit is linked, no doubt, with the expression fruit unto God. And here in this epistle, where the Apostle Paul has to correct these dear saints at Galatia about many things, the mix-up they had got themselves into, getting themselves back into the slough of despond and despair, trying to mix the law and trying to improve upon the work that Christ had done, which couldn't be possible, of course. He ends this remarkable epistle with these words that we've read together from the fifth chapter. the fruit of the Spirit. And I'm sure, as we read these words together, we cannot but feel that if any of these features are seen in our lives, we may come short in many of them, but if any of them are seen in our lives, surely we are taking upon us something of the features of Christ for the pleasure of God. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Why, as we read down the very verses, without any comment upon them, surely there is stand before us the blessed picture of the Christ that our brother brought before us the other evening. The picture of the Christ comes before us as the one who in perfection was marked by these very features: meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law, and they that are Christ's. Now, you are there, aren't you? And I am there through matchless grace. They that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Doesn't say we ought to. It doesn't say we shall do. Notice, it's very emphatic. They that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. That which brings all that trouble that we were talking about this afternoon. Thank God we can live apart from it and free from it. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And here is the practical word for each one of us. Let us walk in the Spirit. It is amazing even in the Epistle to the Ephesians, isn't it? That wonderful Epistle to the Ephesians that brings before us the highest truth that came from the pen of the beloved Apostle. When we come to the practical part of that Epistle, the walk of the believer is brought before us. I well remember a remark by our dear brother Mr. Bramwell Dick many years ago. He said, as he sought simply before us to give us a line that would enable us to remember the truth that is brought before us in the Ephesian Epistle. This is the way he put it, that in chapter 1 we have the will of God, and in chapter 2 we have the work of God, and in chapter 3 we've got the wisdom of God. And then we come into the second half of the Epistle, chapter 4, we've got the walk of the believer. Chapter 5, the witness of the believer. And chapter 6, the warfare. Yes, thank God it's there, and I'm sure these little hints, they help us to take account of what these dear men of God were bringing before us when they ministered the truth of God. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And then the Apostle, as we read these words in the Epistle of Jude, wonderful words, are they not, beloved? But ye beloved, this is the way that this dear man of God addresses the saints of God, with a heart that was yearning for their good, a heart that was yearning that they might know the joy and the blessing of soul prosperity. Ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Isn't that the reason why these meetings have been convened in Findocty this week? It isn't just that we might have a nice week together, hoping that the weather would be fine and get here and get there, that's all right. But this is more blessed still, isn't it? Building up yourselves on your most holy faith. And I'm sure if we've gathered together this week with this end in view, we'll not go away disappointed. We'll say we've been helped in our faith as taking account of the truth of God from the wonderful epistle of the Romans. We'll be built up on our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Another remarkable thing, isn't it? If we are going to move in the path of separation, and if we are going to move in the joy of soul prosperity, we'll appreciate, both individually and collectively, the blessing of praying, but praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God. What an atmosphere to live in. What an atmosphere to move in. Do we know anything about this? Romans 5, it be shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. It's possible, isn't it, that we can move in this blessed atmosphere where there can be enlargement of soul and soul prosperity, and that path that is pleasing to God, where the features of Christ may be manifested in your life and mine. Praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping ourselves in the love of God, and looking, building, praying, keeping, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And that moment will be near at hand, beloved, isn't it? As we take account of things as they're moving in the world today, we must feel sure of this, that the moment of his coming is near at hand. And as he closes this letter, this dear man of God, now unto him, all those resources that this dear man could cast the saints upon. And it is good when we realize that our resources are not even the servants of God, though they've helped us greatly, and they will help us. The Lord will see to that until he comes. But our resources are in the Lord himself. Now unto him that is able to keep you from stumbling. I know we sometimes sing the hymn, "While thou art away, Lord, I stumble and stray, Lord," and we try to make excuse for it, you know. Oh, but there's no need. Here is one who is able to keep us from stumbling and to present us faultless. Why, we talk about the faults of the brethren, and we sometimes get occupied with them. That's the devil's work. But here's one who is going to present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. What a joy it's going to be for you to get there. What a joy it's going to be for me to get there. But beloved, think of this. What a joy it's going to be for him to have us there. The presence of his glory with exceeding joy. He and I, in that bright glory, one deep joy shall share, mine to be forever with him, and his that I am there. The presence of his glory with exceeding joy. And he closes this little letter to the only wise God. And what a God he is. He's taken us up in wondrous grace. He's forming Christ in our hearts and lives by his Spirit, the only wise God. Who but this blessed God could have devised such a means to bring us near to himself? And in the meanwhile, before he takes us home to the glory, by learning his mind and reading his word, wherein is his mind declared for us? The Spirit of God making these things good to our souls. We move on in the path that our God has placed our feet in. The path that the vulture's eye hath not seen, nor the lion's whelp hath trodden. What a blessed thing it is to be in that way. As someone said again the other night, it might be just up to the ankles. It might be up to the knees. It might even be up to the loins, but we'll find its waters to swim in, to the only wise God, our Saviour. Oh, what blessed words these are. The glory and majesty and dominion and power, both now and forever. And I'm sure we all add, Amen.